are. So this is our second session on Yichud. So Yichud is a is an interesting area because it really, more than other areas of the laws of sexuality in Judaism, really reflects sort of the Torah's understanding of sexuality, which is very interesting. I'll give you a question that I received. As you know, the price of apartments in the Upper West Side is just crazy. For example, it's not uncommon for a person for a one-bedroom to pay $2,500 or more, depending if it's got, a doorman versus non-doorman. If it's got a name or if it's got an address, there's a whole degree of hierarchy in the pecking order. Insofar as things. So, interesting question like this, and I'll throw this out to you. So, this guy wanted to get an apartment for his two children, just starting out. I think both were in graduate school, but wanted to be in the Upper West Side. Would he be allowed to rent one apartment for brother and sister? What would you say? With that, question being, would that be Yichud? Let's take some guesses. What do you say?
Yes.
It is Yichud. You can't be alone with your sister. Yeah. Okay.
Well,
I'll answer Yichud. It's not Yichud. Okay. All right, we'll find out. It's actually not... all right, so let's start off with the Rambam. I mean, the Shulchan Aruch models the Rambam. I took out parts of the Shulchan Aruch, which is where he differs, where he has a more lenient position than the Rambam. So let's take a look, and it's pretty interesting. So, Oster l'syachid im erva min arayos. It's forbidden to be alone with a erva, that's a person of among the people, which would constitute an erva relationship to you, which means that it's a person, or even an animal, which, if you had a relationship with it, it would result in an iser karas. That's the definition of erva, okay? So Ram says, ben zikena, whether she is old, ben Yolada, or she's young. Shadavar ze garm legalis erva, because this activity of being alone, being sequestered, causes a person, as it quotes the pasuk, which is the pasuk in Vayikra, to literally uncover nakedness, which is a Torah way of saying having a sexual intercourse. Chutz, except for, here are the exceptions, ha'im ima bina, mom with her son, va'av im bito, and her father with his daughter, va'abal im ishto nida, and a husband with his wife who is in the state of being a nida, okay, where she is menstruating or she did not yet get the benefit of the mikvah, okay? So, okay, so let's just stop right there. What's the questions, any issues here? How's the Rambam learning this whole area?
Well, if the general principle is that it's prohibited to have a situation of yichud with someone who's an erva, so then how could you carve out these exceptions?
Exactly. Good. In other words, if a person's in an erva relationship, it should be mom and son and father and daughter. That's it. Yet already, you see. Now there's a whole machlok whether or not yichud is a iser del raisa or an iser drabana. Okay? But whether that's the case, everybody agrees that these are true. Whether he holds the right to drabonim, that a father and daughter could rent an apartment and live together. Forever. No problem. And a mom and a son, no problem. So what do you see, what's the sexual reality that halacha is clearly defining here? Very first principle. Don't be so surprised. What is the halacha saying about the contours of human sexuality?
I assume the saying that this is something that will not cause a sexual relationship, I'm assuming. So therefore,
Why?
For these people to
why?
I assume because of the psychologically, this would seem to be, you know, taboo.
Right.
So therefore, we will allow a father to be in the same room as his daughter or the mother of the son.
Correct. So already you see that halacha recognized that there, that the sexual possibility with father, daughter, mother, son is something which is basically a red line that is not assumed that's going to occur. That is something that is not assumed to occur. It's not assumed it's going to happen. Nor there's enough of a psychological barrier for that happening that therefore being together is not going to be a source of temptation. Is that clear? What's not on that list?
Brother sister.
But interestingly enough, we'll get to this. It's not the brother sister is actually which we'll get into it. The halacha which the achronim bring down, a brother and a sister cannot be alone bikfias, but arai they could be. Okay, what's the difference between bikfias versus arai, an established situation versus a temporary situation? For instance, what's the concept there?
So I guess that would mean that the case that you brought up earlier, can I get an apartment where they're going to live together on a kfias?
Right.
So presumably that would mean the answer is no.
Correct.
However, if they just happen to be in the apartment together one day.
Or night. Right.
That's permitted.
Correct. Or let's say a very simple case. Mom and dad go off on vacation, leave a brother and a sister together in the house. It's not yichud. It's not wrong. So what do you see by that? What kind of category is that? Either it's aser or it's mutter. What's this category of bikfias yes, barai no? I mean, barai it's mutter, bikfias no. What's the concept there? It's another. You see another interesting wrinkle. Nothing here is so simple. So it's going to be. Why is it? What's up with that? What's the difference between a relationship between siblings versus parents in the world of sexuality? A very important distinction.
There's definitely an unconscious drive between the parent and the child. There's no drive between siblings.
How does that explain that?
That seems a contradiction.
I think you're saying you mean the opposite. What are you saying? In other words,
I thought there's like an unconscious drive for the son to go with the mother. Son to desire the mother.
That is, well, obviously you know that's true because otherwise the Torah would not forbid it. If it's simply not at all in the consideration at all, the Torah would not make that answer. It wouldn't have to. Yet, but so far as the realm of Yichud, it did not have to make that stages prior are forbidden. Why? Because there's not going to be a psychological breakthrough. That barrier is not going to be broken through. The assumption is not broken through. We're going to get into different categories of people also. Not all people in the area of sexuality are defined the same. We'll get into that. I mean, would you say that a fraternity guy would be the same thing as a guy who's sitting in kolo? They put him in the same category? We shall see. Okay? In certain regards, yes. In certain regards, no. We'll make that distinction as well. We'll stay tuned. But what's the difference between siblings? What's up with siblings? Sammy?
I got into enough trouble last week.
You weren't in trouble. Speak freely. You're an open environment. That's it. This is not a time to be,
repressed,
exactly. So what's the halakhic assumption there? Because it's not us, sir. Right? But they can't set up, they can't live in an apartment in a long period of time. Halakhic word, the exact shear is not so, it's not so simple. I mean, one achron would say a month. Okay.
So, I mean, is it oversimplified to say that they're saying that there's some, the halacha recognizes some danger to the extent that you're in a situation of fear.
Okay, what is that psychologically saying?
Well, it's saying that there's definitely a level of attraction there, and the taboo,
right?
You know, apparently could be knocked out after a period of time. So I'm not sure what the particulars are, but
no, exactly. So apparently, like with between parents and children, there's a psychological barrier. It's a wall. You'd say nearly impenetrable. With siblings, the law is recognizing there's a barrier, there's a wall, but it's not impenetrable. And over time, apparently, the law recognizes that the relationship between siblings is such that that could be worn down. That the HRA can find a way, interestingly enough. So, all right, that's okay? So already you see, it's not so simple. Okay, not so simple.
Now, like a stepsister.
Oh, we're going to get to that.
That's a different
thing. Okay. We'll throw it out. Stepsister, what's halacha?
Probably want to be more strict.
Would you be stepsister? Is it you allowed to be alone with her?
Yes. I'm not sure.
No.
I don't.
Maybe.
She says no. Dave's not sure.
Yes, probably not.
No.
Because luckily she's not there's no she's not a sibling. The fact that your parent married her parent is that's of course it's going to be yichud. We'll get to that.
What about going on a date? Isn't that yichud? Like if it's a private setting.
Well, so we can discuss, that's a very good question. So let's go through possibilities. You take a girl to a Starbucks. Fine, you could. You're in public. Has to be, let me definite. We'll get to this, but basically, you could mean you put them in a situation where sexual intercourse could occur. Okay? So any public area, by definition, is not... okay, we're not talking about a person who's insane who will have sex in public, okay? But we're talking about a person who's of normal psychological character.
What about traveling in a car?
Well, that's one of the things that the Achronim deal with. The tshuva about that. Well, so it's in question. Okay, the Ramosha has a tshuva by that. You know, for example, very simple case. It's raining outside. You're driving, and there's a girl who you know from the neighborhood, and she's standing by the bus stop. She's getting soaked. A chesed. You're a gomel chesed kind of guy. There's a girl in need. She needs your help. Okay? So, by day, right? So the question is, there's a motion truth on that. So, look, if you're and you're driving in a public area, fine. Okay, so we'll get to this. I mean, and the question is, guy Hoshi, that he's going to take, go, and then, as they say in the vernacular, go park someplace, which would then move the car from being in the public domain into the private domain. All right, we'll
seriously run out of gas.
Right. Right, and have to turn off the road is the key point there. All right,
and
so we'll right,
it.
So we'll get into that. We'll get into, but we're not there yet. We're not going to knock all the stuff off in one night. I think it's pretty obvious for you, but we're just getting warmed up. Okay, next case. Actually, I had this situation where I was involved in the wedding. Chasen shepirsa ishto nida, and I do not wish this on anybody here. A chasen whose wife becomes Anita at the wedding. Hey, isn't that great? Mazel tov. Kodem sheyivol, before they have their first intercourse. Also lisyachid yima, he cannot be alone with her. Oh, but didn't the Rambam say that a guy's allowed to be alone with his wife who's Anita? Interesting. Elahi yishena ben hanashim, she sleeps among the women, and he sleeps among the men. Avimba alev bia rishona, but if they've had the first encounter, and then she becomes Tamei, she becomes Anita, then he may be alone with her. Another interesting, very interesting psychological observation there. I'll just tell you the situation was like this. So as you know, you've been to many weddings. So you have the chuppah. There's a whole machlok among whether Rishon, whether you can do what they call a chuppah's Nida, If the girl is an Edith, they can have that thing. But we do do that. Just, all right. Obviously, the goal is you want to schedule the wedding where this is not a problem. Okay. All right. And, you know, there are all kinds of methods to do that. Some people, the girl goes on the pill because it regulates her menstrual cycle. Although the problem is there are what's called breakthrough bleeding. It doesn't work so well all the time. Anyway, the situation was like this: the guy got married. So as you know, after the chuppah, what comes next? You dance the chasen and the kala into what? The yichud room, okay? Now, what's the goal of the yichud room? It's to actually create yichud, right? In fact, the two Adam walk in there to make sure there's no entrance, nobody can come in there, there's nobody else there, that actually will be real yichud, which means, and how long do you have to wait out there? 9-10 minutes. In other words, the time that conceivably, halakhically, sexual intercourse could occur. It doesn't, but it could occur, okay? I mean, I don't know for sure in all cases, but I mean, you know, most people are fasting oftentimes. So that's why the cater brings out there, has there in the yichud room a, you know, some food for the chasen and kala. Anyways, so my job was, in this situation was, I had to be in the yichud room before. Right, so the Aiden walk, because remember, because you don't want this to be publicly known, that'll be like embarrassing. You can say, oh, ladies and gentlemen, the chasen, you know, the kala is a need right now. You obviously want to avoid that. You know, this is supposed to be a private, sneeze issue. So basically, I was hiding out behind the things, and the Adam knew that I was there, so we gave each other the knowing thing. And then the chasen kala came in, and, you know, I was there, which was a little uncomfortable, but I was there basically, what was I there for? To make sure there's no yichud. I was essentially the yichud buster, because they were not allowed to be alone, because they did not have sexual intercourse for the first time. What's the concept? That's interesting. Another concept. If they have relations the first time, then they could be alone. If they don't have the first time, what's that all about? Well, Gary, of course. All right. Well, let's give these guys give a chance. Sam, what's the concept? Are you able to verbalize this in an intelligent way, or you have to laugh? Okay. Sam, David?
There's like a tremendous fantasy for the first time.
Okay.
Guy's tremendous desire for the first time.
So therefore, what's the halacha concerned about? If they're alone and they can't have bia, what's going to happen?
They have to wind up doing it anyways.
Exactly. Perfect. Because the amount of, as you said, the fantasy and the desire mixed together, the romantic possibility is so intense, the halacha is not assuming that it's going to first be able to observe, you know, the laws of Nida in that situation. But the second time, what do you see?
Fantasy is gone.
Well, the fantasy is not gone. Not that after he had sex once, he's disappeared his wife for the rest of his married life. It doesn't go in off. It doesn't work in on and off. You can use, it's like a, let's use the volume metaphor, okay? Alright.
With no mute button.
No, I mean, alright, I mean, Gary?
Yes.
You want to, you know, after a Biyur Rishona, then of course the situation is reasonable that the person feels, in other words, the fantasy has now become somewhat, the couple sees it more realistically, and therefore their ability to avoid an Issachar race is assumed to occur. You know what I'm saying? Is that clear? So even though the woman, when a woman is Anita, now what do you see by that? Very important thing. So by the way, if a girl does not have the benefit of the whole mikvah process, she luckily is an heir with every Jewish guy. Do you understand that? Do you understand that point? Okay. That's why there's a iser for a girl not to go to the mikvah earlier than 4 days before her wedding. Can you understand why that is developed?
Yeah, well, then, because otherwise she'll go to the mikveh and then she'll be permitted.
Correct. Well, she's not even permitted, but she won't be there, but there will not be an Issachar. Mm. All right? because there are many issues as far as premarital sex. The big one, of course, being that she's Anita, and therefore he's going to have relations with her. It's going to be Nisarkaris. So if a woman goes through the process of Tahara, then she will move the Nisarkaris, and there'll be Nisardaraisa of having relations with a unmarried girl without the context of marriage.
Can I just ask a clarification?
Yeah.
So if she's unmarried,
yep,
and she does not go to the mikvah,
yes.
So she has a halacha of an erva.
Yes.
To say, I didn't know that.
Yes.
And if she does go to the mikvah, then in theory she does not.
She's called
a
penuyah. That's going to be next halacha. Right.
So she's a penuyah if she goes to the mikvah.
Right.
Wait, you're saying generally there's no heter.
And then is there is now at this point in time is there an isra yichud? At this point in time in halacha aleph, is there a problem if a girl goes to the mikvah? Can she be alone with a guy?
Yes.
Correct.
Because she's not an erva.
Very good. All right, you gotta be a little sharp here. All right, you hear that, guys? You understand that? Because she's not, because she is theoretically permitted to him. She's not an isser that would result in isser kares, correct? In fact, they could be married. Okay, as you can well see, the Sanhedrin, and we'll see. We're gonna do a little history here. Decided to block that shot. Okay.
So there was a time historically where the woman was allowed to go to the mikvah.
No, they went to the mikvah all the time. Remember, girls, you wanted to go. If a girl wants to go to the base of mikdash, she had, you know, the three old regalim, right? She wants to eat the korban pesach. She got to go to the mikvah.
In which case, she's no longer.
She's a penuyah. She's not a nida. She's not an erva. Let me tell you something else. Then she would not be nigiyah. Because the Nagia, a murder isser of sexual contact, is an isser emerging from her status of being a erva. No erva, no isser or Nagia. You following that one? I think you guys need the Diet Coke a little bit more than I do.
So, I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but yeah. So what happened here?
That's Halakha Beis.
Okay.
Halakha Beis, what happened?
Okay.
What happened? Okay, so let's see what happened. I'm sorry, that's a Halakha Gimel. We'll get to what happened. There's a little history there. Halakha Beis. Lo nechshidu Yisrael al mishkav zachar v'al behema. L'figachin asur l'siyachimahem. Jews are not suspected on homosexuality or on bestiality. Therefore, it's not prohibited to be alone with them. Alone with whom? Let's say the Jews were having a problem with homosexuality. What would the halakha be? Dave?
You couldn't be alone with another man.
You couldn't be alone with another man. Because he's an heir to you. Right? If you have relations with a guy, it's an Issacharis. Correct? But the average Jew is not assumed to be having a problem with homosexuality. Or a behema. What's the issue of behema? Sammy?
They're
bound with animals.
Prohibited.
Exactly. You couldn't be alone with animals. Because if the Jews were having an issue with the thing. By the way, this can be contrasted with non-Jews, by the way. Okay? Like, for example, category called shepherds are assumed to be engaged in bestiality. Therefore, you can't bring your animal to them because you're assuming that you're basically could be listening to either of them to engage in homosexual bestiality with your animal. Okay? All right. So, now, v'im misrachek, now here's interesting halacha. V'im misrachek afilu mi'yichud zachor u'behema harayit m'shubach. If a person would diss himself even from being alone from a fellow male or with an animal, harayit m'shubach, he's praiseworthy. But gedolei hachachamim and the great scholars, hayu marchikim habehema, they would distance themselves from the animal. Kedesh lo nisyachim ima, so they should not be alone with it. Isser yichud harayas mipi hakabbalah. And isser yichud with those people or animals who are an erva to you is mipi hakabbalah. Now, this is one of those phrases, not clear. The plain assumption is mipi hakabbalah means what?
Assuming it's a Rabbanan.
The Rabbanan, correct. But apparently I heard, I have to check it out, that there are instances where the Yipia Kabbalah you're referring as the Tosha Baal Peh, and therefore being a Tzadaraisa. So Ram is not 100% clear. But I think a fair interpretation of Meter Bond. We'll stick with that for the time being. Okay? Now, let me ask you, I think we have our background information we had in last class. Why is it praiseworthy if, I'll ask you a question. If Jews are not assumed to be engaged in, engaged in homosexuality, and therefore they did not make a gezerah, they didn't make a gezerah of no yitzur yichud with a fellow guy, why is it praiseworthy not to be alone with a guy? This is based upon our ideas that we expressed last week and other times. Why is that an idea? If there's no interest, there's no problem. And why is it praiseworthy? Praiseworthy in other words, a raising mashiach means that there's a kiyum. It's an enhancement in the area. The guy is he's showing an excellence in the area. Why is it an excellence? There's no issue. No issue? What are you doing? Maybe you're just being a crazy frummy. You're making up chumras where they don't exist. This is an authentic chumra. Now, do you ever hear that? Guy says, I eat shmur matzah all 7 days of Pesach. I only eat glatt kosher. These are the chumras that we all hear about. Oh, I only daven hanukkah. Very nice. How about a guy says, I am very meticulous not to be alone with farm animals. Nobody's ever bragging about that chumra. Or, I am not alone with guys. I'm not alone with guys. I'm makbid on yichud with males. You don't hear that. People bragging about that chumra. Okay? But yet, the Rambam says, I raise a meshuvach. It's praiseworthy. Could anybody explain to me why it's praiseworthy? We discussed some of this idea that you have enough background information, I believe, to be able to answer it. But it seems crazy. The question is, if there's no problem, then I'm not achieving anything. And if there is a problem, then there should be Yisr Yichud. You can't have it both ways. What is this middle category? Well, it's really mutter, but if you save from it, it's praiseworthy. What is really the... it's an interesting concept. Gary?
Well, maybe you could say the safeguards, the psychological safeguards are such that we're not going to have a chashad or a concern that the Jew is going to sleep with another male or with an animal.
Right.
However, that does not mean to say that he may not have some unconscious desire.
Correct.
So therefore, since he might have that, since he could have that desire, is praiseworthy for him not to have yichud with
these other parties.
Correct.
Excellent. So therefore, what is he doing? He's by abstaining, and this is why the Gedolei Chachamim would not be alone with their own animal. Is they're not saying that they always have that they had a strong desire to have bestiality. No. What they're saying is they're pointing out, they're making a statement here that I do not know the full measure and extent of my sexual world. I know a fraction. I'm only conscious to a little amount. And of course, I think everybody here has had a little bit of exposure to the psychoanalytic world, at least the first generation of Freud and his students, recognizing that... very good, Sammy. Sammy is raising up a banana. Very nice. Okay, so... one of the chidushim that Freud and his students uncovered was that there's a whole world of sexuality that a person is just simply not aware of. And you see already that the halacha from Sinai was on it, big time, and the chachamim. This was not an area of taboo, and they understood very carefully the contours. You know what I mean? You see how it's already it's mapped out. Mother, son, no. Brother, sister. Well, sometimes, chas and kala, in this situation, yes. That situation, no. Homosexuality, present, but not, you know what I'm saying? You see how all the areas, how all the sexual vocabulary of mankind has been fully and categorically assessed. I mean, And this is, and the Christian world from, you know, the beginning of Western world till, you know, the world till the turn of the century, or the past century, was simply oblivious to this. Oblivious to this. It's just unbelievable. So, it's another, you know, it's another, you can put this in the, in your pile of evidence to the authenticity of the Torah, as far as that having a very profound understanding of sexuality. So, you know, I'm just giving, we are not even done yet. We've only done two halachas. We are just literally scratching the surface. You'll see a lot of cool stuff. I will promise you that.
I just want to raise one point, just for very briefly, that is really probably not appropriate for discussion now, because it's like a tech, I guess almost like a textual problem.
Yeah.
It's interesting, I'm just pointing out though, that it says the Isser Yichud Arayis Mipi Al Kabbalah, that this Isser of Yichud Arayis is from the Kabbalah, but that is brought up at the end of Halacha Bay. So at the surface,
yes,
it would look like it's more appropriate maybe at Allah for whatever.
No, it makes sense. It's appropriate that he puts it in the end of Halacha Bay, because now in the first Halacha, he has identified these are he's just finishing who those parties that sexual relations would constitute an Isser Kares, who is there equal with, who is there not. Now Halacha Gimel is going to deal with the drabonans, or the later extensions. Everything here is yichud is an extension on erva. Now we're dealing with people who are not authentically Arabic. And that's what we get to the case of an unmarried girl. That's why he just made that category, Aleph and Beis, boom, now he moves on. Now, okay. Keshira Maisa Amnon Vitamar. Gazar Davidu Beis Dino Al Yichud Pnuya. Interesting. It's funny. Now, do you all familiar with the story of Amnon and Tamar? With they shared a father, David, and he actually raped her. Are you familiar with that story in the Tanakh?
Somewhat.
Okay. Anyways, but they're so the David HaMelech, interestingly enough, made a his Beis Din, the Sanhedrin, made an Isser of an Isser Yichud on a Penuyah, which means a Jewish girl who is not a relative is in fact now prohibited. As he says, Alpha Pishaino Erva Klal Yichud Alpha Pishaino Erva Baklal Yichud Arayasi. So even though she's not really an Erva, they've included in the category of Yichud. Okay? So as I mentioned before, all girls, Jewish girls and Jewish, you know, girls, all guys relative to the average Jewish girl who's, you know, who's over 11, who started having her period, is an erva because she's a nida. Okay, but this can be removed, obviously. Next gazera, later, fast forwarding probably 1,000 years, Shammai v'Hillel gazu al yichud kutit. Shammai and Hillel, their baked in, their Sanhedrin, decreed on yichud of a non-Jew. The non-Jew is not an erva. Alright, it's not an iser kares. Okay, and she's not a nida also. Okay, she's not a lachri anita. Not that she doesn't menstruate, obviously she menstruates, but she doesn't have the Isser Kares of if you have a relation with a non-Jewish girl, woman, it's not an Isser Kares of Nida, okay? Now, so therefore it says like this. So therefore, in sum, Nimsa kol misyachim isha she'asur l'syachim ma ben Yisraelis ben kusis makin eshneim makis marus isha isha. Okay? Now, so therefore a guy does go ahead and has a yichud, the Beis Din would do what? Would whip them makas martus. What is makas martus? Literally means the whips of rebellion. Anybody familiar with that? Makas martus, have you heard that phrase? Okay. Malkos, or a person's lokin, gets the 39 whips. If a guy eats, let's say, let's say two witnesses say, do not eat that cheeseburger. I go ahead and eat the cheeseburger, and tell me to do it anyways. I get Malkos, the 39 whips. Okay? Obviously, there's a doctor there to assess if I can handle the 39 whips. That's it. Makas Mardus is the Beis Din had, they could deal with others. They can give you one whip. or as much as they feel is necessary to remove the person's halachic weakness, shall we say, till the person is educated that this is not the right path. But not only that, machriz and aliyim, they announce it. Okay? There's an announcement that they were alone. Okay?
Why is it 39?
What? It's not 39 for this.
In general, why is it 39?
Why they pick 39 versus what?
40.
I don't know. Good question. Good question. I don't know. Like all, you know, they do call Malkus Arbayim, but it's really not Malkus. It's not a full Arbayim. It's a good question. I don't know. So he says like this. They also make, except for Ashishish, a married woman, you're not allowed to be alone with her. You don't whip her. You don't not to put a bad name upon her, Shizinsa, that she actually had an adulterous affair. And you're putting a bad name on her children, that they are actually mamzera. So there's another, even though that they did do yichud and they were warned not to do yichud, nonetheless, they don't whip them, not for their benefit, for them they did do yichud. But what do they do it for? Their children. What's the concern about her children? What's the? Why don't they announce that this guy, she was alone with this guy, Steve, the Jewish community? First of all, she may have children already from her husband. But the problem is that they're going to people assume that she's like, you know, she's that they're going to assume that her children are not the children, or not necessarily the children of her husband, and therefore there's going to be a call. There's going to be an assumption. There's going to be people are going to say that her children are mamzerim, are products of an adulterous affair. Okay, and therefore they're basically going to ostracize the kids from getting married. And who's going to, so that's going to kill their shidduch opportunities completely. Okay, now we're going to how to remove yichud. Okay, so there's a couple of interesting things. Halacha da, let's get into this. Kol isha she'asu l'tziyachad imo, any woman that is forbidden to be alone with, im ha'isa ishto imo, any time that the guy's wife is with him, ha'rezim muteres l'tziyachad m'bnei ishto mishmarto. What does that mean? His wife will guard him. What does that mean? In other words, what's the case? Very simply, the guy's alone. Let's say a guy has a shop. Let's say you have a dress shop. Okay? And women are coming in all the time. Okay? So it's just you and a woman. She's asking you for, you know, I need a size 6, whatever. So if the woman, if your wife is there, it's not yichud. Why is that?
Puts a damper on the plan.
Puts a damper on the plan. Okay, what do you mean by that? Okay, so bottom line is that there's going to be a person there. There's going to be a party. Who's not going to be a party of that? And is going to and a person. The assumption the guy's going to be not going to, is going to be ashamed and not going to be. Do anything with this other woman when his wife is on premises. Okay. Now, interesting, but there's a contrast here. Avalotis Yachid Yisraelis, a Jewish woman cannot be alone imakutin, a non-Jew, v'yafi shishto imo, even if his wife is there. Okay, she ain't ishto shalkuti mishmarto, because the wife of the non-Jewish guy does not guard him. Here's a key phrase. V'ein lahen busha. What's that? There's known as two things. The wife doesn't guard him, and they don't have busha. So it's not just one factor. Okay? So, I will say, luckily, let's go categorically. What's up with the non-Jewish guy? A Jewish girl can't be alone with a non-Jewish guy, even if his wife's there. So he says two things. One, the non-Jewish wife does not guard him, for ain lo busha, and they have no shame. It's two variables. What's that about? Now, first of all, I just want to say, halakhically, these things, these categories, we should get to person defined as a kosher, person who's being kosher versus parutz, a person who is totally broken down their sexual taboos or their restraints. So I don't know if the halakhically would apply to a let's say a Christian who has a clear moral character. We're talking about, this is clearly talking about a pagan. You know what I'm saying? I'm not giving the halakhic application of this. You know, does it apply to an average American? You know what I mean? That's another further clarification. I've talked to a post that says it does not. But you know, it depends on the, you know, but like a fraternity guy, you know, that we're going to get to that guy. That luckily has an interesting category. We'll get to that guy in a moment. But what is Allah saying about about this guy, this pagan and his wife? A Jewish girl can't be alone with them. Why not? Two things. The wife does not guard him, and there's no busha. There's two variables. Gary, you have an idea? Yeah.
Well, it seems like the wife does not guard him means that there's a concern there that it's not going to matter that he's cheating on his non-Jewish wife. Either he wouldn't be concerned that she would know, or she wouldn't be care that much that he's cheating on her.
Okay, so that okay, good.
That's the first one, though.
Right.
And then the second one is the Elohim Busha, she has no shame, or they have no shame. I assume that the implication would be that there would be like a, they're saying that there's no shame, meaning that there could even be maybe like a, well, that she could even do it in front of them, in front of a woman, a non-Jewish woman.
Right.
Or involving her, you know, I don't know, but basically.
Exactly. In other words, that the fact is that there's a, there, in other words, and I think, you know, this orientation is certainly present on TV, that basically the wife knows that this guy, that her husband, messes around. And that's an assumption, they call that terminology in America, called an open relationship.
Okay. Alex Rodriguez.
What?
Alex Rodriguez.
A stray rod. Or she said openly that she knew that lechachila? What was it?
I'm sure.
Well, all right. So, I mean, I don't know if woman's bizmaz they're going to say, but clearly there are people that have that feeling. They know that that's what happens. They love their husband anyways. Right? I mean, you see that. I don't know if you ever flip in the channel and you're like, it's on like, these people are like, like all these daytime shock television shows. They're like these personalities are like all over TV. They're you know, disgraceful individuals, okay? And the Elohim Busha, they don't have any problem. The fact is that even if it one fact is that he has certain restraints of his wife, and one is that even if she's on premises, you know, in other words, there's two levels here. One is the guy he's got the Busha that he at least makes an attempt to hide it from his wife, okay? This guy doesn't have any Busha. And she could be on premises, and it doesn't bother. It's nothing negative. It's a mitzvah. Okay, so that's therefore to be alone. Therefore, the whole ishto mishmarto phenomena is not working because she's not a good shomeret. She's not stopping anything. Okay, you know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. So number one yichud buster is the wife. Okay, now that's clear. All right, please stop me if you. Yeah, okay. Yes.
Okay, I mean, unless we're still going to hit it.
Yeah.
We thought we were going to hit it now, but I mean, the idea of the New Year going to the mikvah.
Yes.
So what happened there exactly? So that was, you're saying that was the incident with
So therefore, David and his basin felt at that point in time, that was that incident. I'm not going to. That whole story, by the way, is a tremendous. I mean, that's worthwhile investing in its own way. That story. As far as understanding the world of the emotions, he went from tremendous attraction to tremendous hatred in a very short after he raped her. Okay, it's a very interesting thing, which is an interesting story. It's worthwhile to check it out because that tells another thing about the nature of romance and how you can understand how people can go from one emotional world to the opposite emotional world literally in minutes. Anyways, without going into, because I don't want, you know, that's worthy of a proper investigation. Maybe want to put that on the
list.
All right, Dave says put that on the list. Okay, so the bottom line is that David and his base, because of the incident, felt that even though that a girl, a single girl, is not technically an erva, they what did they do? They defined her as an erva. She now has a shame erva, even though she really she's not meterized an erva.
So
that's how they did. How do they extend? Because the Chum can't just make this erva. What they did was they made her an erva. Therefore, all ervas have an Isra Yichud. She's now an erva. That's what they defined.
So
her.
Even is it that he said now it's prohibited for her to go to the mikvah, or no? Even if she does go to the mikvah, she's still an erva.
Oh, good. Yes, correct. B. Even if she goes to the mikvah, because for example, let's say she's a kohenes and she wants to eat partake of the truma. We're talking about in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. Or she wants to eat Pesach Seder. She wants to have the Korban Pesach. She wants to eat Bikurim. I mean, there's a thousand, you know, she wants, you know what I mean? There's all kinds of halachas that they're legit. In the time of the Mikdash, men and women, you went to the mikvah all the time. I mean, you could be Tameh, but it's interesting. Women would observe the laws of Nida from the time they started their menstrual cycle, at 11, 12 years old. Because they couldn't go to the Beis Midrash, the whole family going to the Beis Midrash on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, they want to come, you know. So therefore, depending on the time of the, you know, they would go to the mikvah, and they do all the preparations to go to the mikvah. So she, a woman, would be a pnuya. She wouldn't be an erva, no problem. So there would be no yichud until David Meltan. There was no problem being alone with a girl who's not Anita, and single.
Maybe this also is something for a whole another shiur. I wonder how this ties into the idea of like a pilegish.
Pilegish is basically, to make a very simple point. A pilegish is a woman who a guy marries but does not have the ksuba benefit, which means there is a divorce. If they're in case of divorce, she gets nothing. Okay, that's the basic point. And there's a whole machlok rishonim whether or not is this a pilegish is only a concubine is only eligible to be a concubine only for a melech. It's only the right of a melech to have a pilegish. Or can a regular person have a pilegish, provided he can provide her with the support? In other words, a Jewish woman and a pilegish are the same during their marriage. It's just that after marriage, one gets the ksuba settlement, and the pilegish does not. Okay, that's the basic distinction.
Is prenuptial agreement allowed under Jewish laws?
What do you mean by prenuptial agreement? Do you mean that in case of divorce, what you get? Yes.
Like the woman get nothing?
Oh, no, like for example, let's say he's a wealthy Jew, right? He's worth a billion, you know? He doesn't want to have what happened to, what was that girl's, the woman's name that died?
Anna Nicole Smith.
Right, he wants to avoid the Anna Nicole Smith problem, which she didn't get the money either, but at the end of the day. But you want to avoid being, can you make, in case of a divorce, that you're not going to get half, you know, you're not going to get the New York State half of the assets. So yes. Because the truth is ksuba does not agree with that. There could be an issue of gneva, really. Of a woman who takes the guy to through the, using the courts to get money that's not deserving. Okay? So there is no idea of that whole idea of half. And since in terms of secular law, you could certainly do it. What they did institute, which is by the way very key, and I would recommend to every is getting married, the RCA has a prenuptial agreement, which the bride and groom sign, that in case that the bride and groom, the husband and wife, are no longer living together, there is a $150 per day penalty, and they both want to get a divorce until the giving of the get, to avoid the aguna issue. Now, it works it out, because I'm not getting to the complications of, because you can't give a forced get. It has to be a free will get. I'm not going to get into all that issue. But I would recommend signing that. So but also prenuptial agreement. Prenuptial agreement, not to, you know, so the guy does not has a motivation to give his wife a get in case of divorce.
Can I go back to this other question? So when Rabbi Gershon said that the man could no longer marry, have two wives.
Well, we're going to accept as a minug. We're not going to, that we B'nai Ashkenaz are not going to have more than one wife.
Did that extend as well to the Pilegish? Did that extend as well to the Pilegish? I know it's a little on the
side. I mean, to the best of my knowledge, Pilegishim, being that's an issue that's a subject whether or not even a regular guy can even have a Pilegish. So Pilegishim was not occurring because it's a Suffolk derisa, you know.
It's a Suffolk derisa.
Right. I mean, I know it's a Suffolk derisa because the question of Suva is a derisa or born is another question. I mean, it's a complicated issue.
Okay.
But in all intents and purposes, to the best of my knowledge, yes.
Okay.
I mean, the question by that thing only had a 1,000-year limit, by the way.
Well,
yeah. Now it's accepted upon as minug only.
Nice.
There's a minug to accept that.
1,000 years
running out. You ran out.
So, if a person was a, let's say, a person was foreign, they have to.
Well, I mean, very simply, I mean, it was factually that wasn't the case. I mean, when they had the major airlifts in 50, 51, 52, 53, to rescue the Sephardic Jews throughout all Arab countries back to Israel, these guys were coming out. The husband. Wife one, wife two, wife three, wife four. I mean, yeah, it was ridiculous. Because they didn't even hear about it. It didn't come to them. They know what? Because from the Torah, there's no problem. Provided that he can provide all the basic requirements to his wife, no problem. So they're walking out of there multi-wives. You know, they'd simply had been so isolated from, you know, the communities of Ashkenaz and Sephard became so isolated, they were not simply did not hear about it.
In Israel, are you legally
allowed to? I don't think so.
Isn't like one wife enough problems though?
Like, we're not talking about that. We're talking about you're thinking about from because you're in the Western world to have, you know, it's a whole, you know, one wife is. From a Western world sensibilities, to answer your question, yes. But in Sephardic orientations, a different whole head. That's a whole separate conversation. You know, I'm sure Gary will fill you in at a rather time. I'll let him do that. Maybe he has a shot at the tail for chance. Okay, it's a different head there. But as far as the realm of perfection, a person should not have more than one wife. You know, Yaakov only wanted to have one wife, but whatever. Okay. The Avos, essentially, except for Yaakov, had one wife. That's the way to go. All right. Now, I want to do something here which gets really, really shows beautifully another wrinkle in the world of sexuality based on through the prism of Yichud. I brought down the Mishnah in Kedushin, as you can see there on the bottom there. So it says, Lo yisachet adam im shtei nashim. Man should not be alone with two women. Already, this already, by the way, in people who don't know better than, say, in the modern Orthodox world, they laugh at, as we mentioned, they laugh at this. Two women, come on! All right? Aval Isha, now here's an interesting question, but there's a apparent stira. Aval Isha Achat, but one woman, Mityacheret, may be alone with two men. Okay? So let's explain that paradox, according to the Tanna Kamma. Why is that? And I'll show you Rashi. I'll give you a hint. There's a fundamental difference between male sexuality and female sexuality, right off the bat. Which is not to say that men are more animalistic and women are more tzaddikim. That's not true. Yeah, men who are tzaddikim, yeah, women are tzaddikim. Yeah, men who are not tzaddikim and women are not tzaddikim. There's no inherent gender which is inherently perfected. But they have their own. They have their own way. It's different. They're just different. So, how would you explain that without looking at the Rashi to give you a hint? What is the concept? One guy cannot be alone with two women, according to Tanna Kamma, but one woman can be alone with two men. Why is that? All right, Lauren. Good. You have an idea? Or are you just laughing at your brothers? Question is like this. The question is, one guy may not be alone with two women, but one girl may be alone with two guys. Why? Yeah, it should be even. Even Stephen. One and the opposite with two is no. Obviously, the implication being one to three would be permitted. Okay? Which we're going to get into in Shulchan Aruch. We'll get into that. So, why is that? Why does that, why is one guy with two men still yichud, and one girl with two men, no yichud? What happened to the yichud? Why is one guy with two women still yichud? That's counterintuitive. I understand one guy and one girl in a hotel, that's yichud. One guy and two women? Sammy, want to take a stab at it?
Good.
Throw it out here.
I feel like verbalizing it.
All right. So everyone becomes so self-conscious and we're involved in a scientific study here of human nature. It has nothing to do with anything personal. Okay.
Would you say in case of the one girl, two guys, you see how, it wouldn't be yichud because...
You're saying is one guy with two women is yichud?
Yeah.
One girl, two men, no yichud.
It's not yichud.
Okay, why?
Because one guy with another guy, it could there seems to be, something that, some type of uncomfortableness between the two guys. So we would say that that's not yichud because there's certain barriers to that happening, with two guys.
What's the barrier? What's gonna happen? What's gonna happen? Therefore, not gonna happen. So you're saying that's not a situation where sexuality is gonna occur. Why not?
I don't know.
You're onto something. You're very warm.
Yeah, it's getting close to homosexuality.
Well, no, it's not saying no. No, so let's say they both have sex with her.
Yeah, but still, the two guys are together. It's
good.
It's I don't know. It's close.
It's not happening.
Not happening.
But why not? You're
because if there are two guys involved in the act, rails is too much homosexual tension or something.
Okay, fine.
I don't know.
Okay, fine.
It's too close to homosexuality.
Alright, let's check out, flip the page. Let's check out a little Rashi there. Let's go to the second Rashi and we'll do the first Rashi. It says, in base on Nashman, there's two men, she'echad bosh mechavero, that one guy will be shamed in front of the other friend. Because let's say one guy and one girl hit it off. But then you're going to have an uninvolved observer. That's not cool. You know what I'm saying? That's what I think you're getting at. He's not looking for an audience. And how about sharing? Is that within the realm of human male sexuality? Sharing? No. Okay? Because in the realm of male sexuality, the theme of domination is a very major theme. There's no sharing. It's not about sharing, it's about conquest. Conquest, it's not sharing. Let's check out the first halacha. First Rashi. In base notion, one guy, two women, is yichud. We'll say Rashi gives a number of ideas here. We're going to analyze each one of them. I think there's three concepts here. Number one, shedaitam kala, that their, we have to translate. Literally translated, that their psyche is light. That's the translation. Okay, we have to analyze what that is. Vishtehem nochos lehit patos, that both of them are capable of being seduced. Velo tirazu mechaverta, and one is not afraid from her friend, sh'afhi tasek mozo, because they're both engaged in the same activity. Three variables. Three ingredients that make one guy and two women yichud. Critical. Nashim daitim kalas. Women have a weak mind. What does it say? It's saying that women are dumber than men? What does that phrase mean? Nashim daitim kalas, which is what the Gemara talks about. They're kal, light-headed. What does that mean?
Passive.
No. Das means their knowledge. Their knowledge is light. What is it talking about?